Okay. So anger is the topic. Anyone here get angry ever? No, no. You're a calm, tranquil, serene bunch. You never get angry. This is, you know what? This is purely learning Torah, just lishma, just for the idea of learning Torah, because no one here has ever lost their act. No? Okay. So maybe there's a little bit we have to work on. So the first question before we even look at the sources when it comes to this very, very difficult topic, and not difficult to learn, difficult to live up to, is anger a natural reaction?
Yes.
Is anger a natural reaction? What do you think?
Yeah.
Something happens to you, someone upsets you, annoys you, says something to you, avoids you, shouts at you. Is it natural to get angry with them? Lee, what do you think? Okay, so you're saying anger is a natural thing,
yeah.
But you may get angry inside. What does angry inside mean?
Like, you feel angry, but you don't necessarily have to show it. Like, you don't have to.
But if it's a natural thing, maybe you should show it. So how should anger be shown then?
Depends on the situation.
So is anger a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a bad thing.
Bad thing, Jen?
It shouldn't be shown.
Shouldn't be shown. Ever?
Yeah. Nothing ever good comes out of anger.
Nothing ever good comes out of anger. Alana, what'd you say?
If someone does something wrong, you show that you're angry about it, they realize that they're doing something
wrong. So if someone upsets you, you get angry with them, you're making a point. Like, so you should lose your anger with someone, and that shows them that...
Control.
But anger, by definition, isn't it, like, uncontrolled?
Inside, it can be uncontrolled, but on the outside, you don't want to overreact.
Okay. Ladies, are we together on this?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, we were having a debate about anger,
actually. So let us hear it. Share it with the rest of the class. What's on your mind?
No, I just turned to Shane and I said this is one topic in Judaism that I completely disagree with.
Yep, we haven't know what it is yet. I can disagree with it.
What does I know about it?
Let's see what it is. Let's see what it says. Let's try to work out the basics first of all. Let's forget everything we've learned before and try to learn in a new way. Is it a good or bad thing? Shana.
Anger?
Yeah.
I think it's generally bad, but I also think you can never get angry sometimes you're going
to go
insane.
So generally bad. But if you don't get angry, you go insane. So insane is not a good thing? So therefore, I should get angry, right? One at a time. That's interesting. Like, if someone ever cries. You're saying that anger is akin with crying. It's an emotion and it should be expressed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but I think it should be limited.
It should be what?
Limited, like, you have to have
self-control. To what? Which situations? How do you know when you're hurting someone, you get angry with them?
You don't know when you're angry, because when you're angry, you're like insane.
Well, you do know.
You know.
You know what?
No, but you don't.
If you're taking it too far.
Taking what too far?
Your reaction to a situation.
How do you know? So as many times you got angry, and you felt, Chloe, that, hey, the people deserve to know what I'm going through.
Yeah, you do it anyway.
You always put yourself in the right.
I think that anger needs to be expressed. I agree with her that if you bottle it up inside, you can't just push everything inside. I think it needs to be expressed.
I didn't say bottle up inside. That's your wording.
In a controlled manner and not necessarily at the person that made you angry. Like, I think you can let out your anger in other ways.
Such as baseball bat?
Not really. Like going to the gym. Exercise, like punching with a bag.
Punching a bag? Okay. Yeah.
I think this like also has to like do something like if you hate someone or something, like back to our last topic, and like you're angry with them or like whatever, you can't just like hold it in because like that's bad,
yeah.
And you can't like go and like scream at them in front of everyone. Like as Rabban said, like you have to like take them aside and like show them, like tell them like how you're feeling in a different way. pull them aside and be like, listen, like, you did this to me, like, it really did hurt me, like, whatever, and, like, but do that, like, aside, like, you don't need to get angry.
So the Rambam did say that. The Rambam did say that if you're upset with someone, you should take them aside and you should talk to them. But he does speak about this particular character trait. But what I want to, which we'll see in a second, I will see the Rambam inside. I just want to, you know, just deconstruct this whole thing. I asked you, it was an unfair question, is it good or bad? Which puts you into a, you know, a choice situation. And the answer usually in Judaism is, it depends. That's usually the answer. When it comes to anger, however, this is one of the unusual traits where if we look through the sources we're going to look at over the next few classes, it's really seen as one of the worst things a person can do. And the obvious question that comes from that is, and you can take it just from the sources, look at the Torah sources, but if you look at the Torah sources that describe it, and it's so bad, then why exactly do we have it? In other words, Hashem wouldn't just give us a trait which has no positive application. Every application has some positive application, doesn't it? Hashem doesn't kind of just throw traits in our face and say, ha ha, you're angry, now you're in trouble. In other words, there's got to be some positive, maybe a small amount, maybe just a small 5%, 1%, there's got to be something good to come out of it.
You're always happy, you don't appreciate your happiness.
Talking about happiness now, how do we get into happiness? Talking about anger.
I mean,
you're saying it's the opposite?
I don't think they're opposites.
Then they're opposites. What's the opposite of anger?
Not angry.
There's an opposite of it.
Calmness. Acceptance. Okay. That seems to be. The Orach HaSadikim is a book actually that writes the character traits by the opposites. Gives one the opposite, one the opposite, one the opposite. And interesting, we're going to see that anger is related to another negative character trait. Everything does come from jealousy, actually. Everything does come from jealousy. Somehow, jealousy is going to have to be part of it as well. But does anyone know what other character trait? And the Rambam seems to list this one with the other one, which is that seen as one of the most destructive character traits.
Is that lust?
No.
I thought that, like, lust.
Also not good. It's a negative character trait.
Like, lust and worshiping idols
compared to anger. Anger is going to compare to a number of things.
Yeah.
When a person loses their temper, we're going to see, it's as though they worship idols. We'll see why that comment is made. They're making a point when they make that comment. When you lose your temper, you're actually like worshiping idols. That's a famous statement of Chazal. We'll see why that comparison is made. But what other character trait do you think anger is connected to? When a person gets angry, they're actually tapping into another negative trait, which is probably the core of it. Yeah.
Selfishness.
Okay. Selfishness.
Ego.
Right. Right. Haughtiness. Ga'ava. Exactly. So the Rambam's going to say that these two are connected. And when we discuss anger, what we're really discussing is ego. People with big egos get angry. And the opposite to a big ego, ga'ava, is?
Humble.
Humility in Hebrew is anava, anivut. And that's going to be the solution we're going to see, we'll jump to the end, to the anger dilemma that we are all constantly faced with. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see, and anger does seem to play a part, and it does come up in the Torah. We're going to see one of the most famous Jewish leaders of all time, Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest prophet that ever lived, according to some commentators, actually lost his temper. And yet he was the humblest person. So we're going to see that there's going to be a lot of trouble with this. Let's have a look at some of the... Yes, Jen?
Doesn't, like, one of the people say, like, there's nothing in this world worth getting angry
with? There's nothing worth than what getting angry over. So I'm going to disagree with that.
Didn't someone say that?
We're going to... It could be. I'm sure someone said something. I haven't seen the Chazal. Chazal do say, however, that anger... All character traits must have a positive application. Like jealousy. We already mentioned that. What's the positive application of jealousy? Right. I'm jealous of a person's knowledge, right? Their passion, their drive. So there's always a positive application. As someone even pointed out, I mean, it's cute, but someone special Rebbe said, not believing in God. What's the positive application of that? Right, I'm not believing there's a God in the world. See what he said? When your friend's in trouble, don't believe in God. Oh, don't worry, God will take care of them. Right, when you're in trouble, have you had faith in God? But when someone else is in trouble, you might say, oh, God will take care of them. You have to try to help that individual. See, even that trait, not really a trait, but that has a positive application that should make us... So anger must have some positive application. So it can't just be it's never worth getting angry. There are things, not many, but there are things that it's worth getting angry about. And the Gemara is even going to say that a true Talmud Chacham is not someone who can really lead unless they have this trait of anger. And even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even Hashem, is referred to as angry sometimes. So if Hashem has that midah, obviously there's some things that we should get angry about. How, when, where, we're going to have to see. Everything is all about when, where, how, and why. So there's got to be some positive, but it happens to be with anger, out of all the traits, there are not that many. And we're going to see it may have to be purely external and not internal. Outside, anger, but inside, calm. Like a blade of grass blowing in the wind. Inside, I'm calm, but outside, I'm demonstrating anger for a purpose, for a reason. So that seems to be the... Well, let's have a look at some of the Chazals, first of all, because the rabbis, first of all, Tanakh, we'll see, the Gemara, we'll see the Rambam, all speak about this thing called kas, which seems to have a lot of implications. First of all, we'll see Shlomo HaMelech in Kohelet, Zion Tet, Al Tava'el Baruchacha Lechois, Ki Kas Bechei Kesilim Yanuach. Don't be hasty in your spirit to get angry. Don't get angry quickly, because anger rests in the cheik, in the lap of foolish people. Right? Getting angry is a foolish thing to do. Right? Not a good thing. And the Gemara says very interestingly in Pesachim, Reish Lakish Amar, Kol Adam Shekoes, whoever gets angry, Im Chacham Hu, if this person's a very wise, smart person, Chachmaso Mistaleket Mimenu, their wisdom leaves them. It makes you less smart. Now, that could be at the moment of anger, because when we're in the throes of anger, we do very, very stupid things. Right? And we look back and think, what was I thinking? No one here, obviously. All of you who are tzedekuses would never get angry. However, for the rest of us, Im Navi, if he's a prophet, who? Nevuoso Mistaleket Mimenu, they lose their prophecy. The Gemara says when a prophet got angry, they would lose their prophecy. I don't know forever, but their prophecy would leave them for a period of time. And by the way, this is related to another idea that in order for a prophet to prophesy, they would have to be happy. Do you know what David HaMelech would do to prepare himself for prophecy? He would listen to music. Actually, that's how he'd wake up. He'd put a harp in his window, but it says in the Tanakh many times that people would play music in order to make themselves, because music makes you happy, right? Well, you know, good music does. Some music makes you angry. When those cars are blasting out their music when I'm just walking down the street out of their open windows, that does not make me happy. But maybe the person inside listening to that music thrashing away in their heads makes them happy. It could be. It could well be. So they would say that a prophet have to be in a good and happy mood in order to receive prophecy from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see why that is. Why should it be? So he's angry, losing his temper, as Hashem starts to speak to him. It could be that way. Yet, it doesn't seem that way. A person has to be calm. We'll see why that's a necessary ingredient to be a Navi. Now, we don't have any prophets now. We are a non-profit organization, the Jewish people, until Mashiach comes. Actually, as a side point, before Mashiach comes, because Eliyahu HaNavi is going to have to announce Mashiach. So we know the prophecy is going to actually arrive before Mashiach comes. That's a given, right? Because he's a Navi. We're going to get to that. However, most of us like to be wise. We don't want to be stupid. And this trait is something that actually, according to this Gemara, dumbs us down. Dumbs us down. Okay? Let's have a look at the Rambam. So we looked at it a little bit of Tanakh. We saw Gemara. Let's see the Rambam on this. And the Rambam has a lot to say about this trait. And this is in Hilchot Deot. Bottom of the page, are we following? Ubali Kas. Now that's interesting. Baalei kas is a definition. What's baalei kas? Okay, so yeah, so go on, Bella, based upon that, master of something, yeah?
They obtain, they have.
Right, they're constantly with them. Not someone who just lose their temper here and there. Okay? They're baalei kas, they're people who always get angry. You know those people always angry? Just angry people. You know what I'm talking about? The road rage people? They just constantly, they can be the most calm, nicest people in the world, put them behind a steering wheel, and they go completely nuts. They'll be very nice in the supermarket. Mrs. Cohen wants to cut in front of them, no problem. They'll spend 5 minutes helping a person do, but as soon as they're in a car, you might as well put a sword in their hand, you know what I'm saying? Put a cabbage on their head, they're gone completely nuts, completely crazy. Right, the baalei kas, constantly losing it. Ein chayim chayim. Which literally means their life is no life. Or as we say nowadays, they have no life. Right? Is that the common expression? They haven't got a life. Lefikach. Therefore, says the Rambam, Sivu l'etrachek min hakas. We have been commanded to distance ourselves. And we'll see where the Rambam gets this from. This is halacha. To distance ourselves from kas. Ad shinahig atzmo shelo yargish afilu devar mamachisim. That a person won't even get angry even about things that normally and justifiably they would get angry about. That's how far you have to distance yourself from this trait. Far, far away, says the Rambam. Okay? This is not something which you're kind of... And usually the Rambam... What's the Rambam usually say about character traits? Do we discuss that already? You usually have to take the golden mean, the Kavya Shavi, the center road, not too far to the right, not too far to the left. Not too giving with your money, says the Rambam, and not too stingy with your money. Not always screaming, shouting, excited, and not like a stone. Right? Not too excited, but not, you know, limp and nothing. Always find the golden mean. Yet when it comes to anger, the Rambam says, Litrachek, you've got to distance yourself far, far away from this trait. There's very, very little good. There is some, but very little good that's going to come out of this particular trait. Says the Orchat Sadikim, who has a whole chapter on this, and you can look this up in your own time. And he says, Hakas gorem atot ladam. It makes you stubborn. You're just a stubborn person. You're angry? Bless you. You're stubborn. You can't listen to other people. Whatever you say is the right way, and whatever anyone else says, even if you know halfway through your anger, this person's absolutely right, when you're angry about it, you can't makabel, you can't accept it. Right? Umachmat akas loyachnia v'gam loyaduya ala emet. You won't admit to the truth. So you become a person who can't admit the truth, which means you are a liar. You live in a world of sheker. That's not good. That's not good. So now Judaism is saying it's not just the anger. We're going to see the result. I'm going to go into this a lot more. The results of anger are going to be major. It's not just the anger itself. It's not just upsetting that person and destroying them with your anger. There's going to be other things that are going to affect your personality and you'll become an angry person. Says the Gemara very, very famously, how do you know what a person is really like? How can you judge a person's real character, right? You're going to start dating to get married to Mr. Hashem. And you're on a date. And you're going to schmooze a bit. Hi, where are you from? Oh, you're from Long Island. Oh, that's nice. Me too. Oh, you grew up with a dog. So did I. All right, which movies do you like? Oh, yes, so did I. You went to Torah class last night. How was it? Oh, that's so nice. And you'll be talking wonderful things. But you wouldn't know who the person is. Now, people can date for a long, long time and not know each other. So the Gemara actually gives you advice how to figure out, bless you, what a person is really like. And the Gemara says there are three things you can look out for. Kis, kos, kas. Kis, kos, kas. What's kis? Pocket. How they spend their money. Or what they spend the money on. Is a good way to determine what a person is really like. If they're giving money to charity, if they're spending money on Shabbat, if they're spending money on helping other people, on taking care of themselves, it's a good thing. If they're spending money on, supporting Hamas, not a good sign. Not a good sign, right? If they're into supporting, terrorist groups. So how much a person, what a person spends their money on is actually a very, very good way to assess their character. That was a very good idea. So that's kiss. Kos is a cup. What does that mean? What they're like when they are inebriated. Also known as a little bit tipsy. Which also means a little bit drunk. Now, the people you're going to be with, obviously dating, are not people who get drunk. So I guess you have to date them over a Purim. Right? And over the Purim, you'll see, maybe they've had, a little bit of half a cup of wine. Watered down, obviously, with some grape juice. And they'll be... And they don't water down your wine. Mm-hmm. And they'll be drinking, or maybe you'll see them at a Pesach Seder. Right? When they drink a wine, where it's a mitzvah to drink the wine. Because nichnas ha-yayin, says the Gemara, the wine goes in, yotzei ha-sod, the secrets come out. The wine goes in, says the Gemara, secrets come out. That's the whole reason, by the way, why we drink on Purim, because the real you is coming out. Okay, you don't want to drink too much, or too much is going to come out of you, right? And you don't want to do that over your friend's Persian carpet. You do want to drink a little bit, just to, not you, you're underage. But I will be drinking a little bit just to, bring out the joy, the happiness. And that is actually the halacha on all Jewish holidays. Right? What makes people happy, specifically men, is a little bit of alcohol, loosens them up, brings the joy, they love the meal, they enjoy things. Finally, says the Gemara, the final way to determine what a person is like, and I'll tell you a good story in a second, is what they're like when they're angry. You see, when a person is angry, you're going to get to know who they really are. And when they lose their temper, or they enter into very frustrating situations, you're going to figure them out. There's a famous story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's one of these famous stories that got passed around the seminaries and yeshivas. When I was a kid, this is the one we heard, in yeshiva. Of the young boy who went to pick up the girl, who just learned this idea that you judge a person by their anger. And this girl wanted to test out this theory. So he goes to pick up this girl from her parents' house, and he escorts her to his car, and she sits down in the car next to him. And he starts to drive, and they arrive at the red light. And she leans over while the red light, and she turns off the engine, removes the keys, and throws them out the window. And he's sitting there completely bewildered. And in the meantime, obviously, the light went green, and people are honking behind you. Here in New York, the light turns green. Everyone's honking, screaming, shouting, In Israel, it doesn't have to turn green. They'll honk and shout if it's still red, the light. But that's obviously just Eretz Yisrael. Okay? You know that works, right? In America, as soon as the light turns green, it's like... Like they start honking you. In Israel, they honk you while it's still red. You're like, what are you doing? They're like, it will be green soon. It's like a public service they do for you. So, he sees everyone's honking. He's like, what's going on? He's very bewildered. He gets out of his car. He walks around. He looks in the bush. And he finds the keys. Gets back in, turns on the engine, and starts to drive. He leans over to her and says, can I ask, what was that about? And she was like, I was testing you. Why were you testing me? Because I wanted to see if you get angry in a situation. Because I heard from the rabbi that when a person gets angry, you see what their real character, what their personality is really like.
She's nuts.
So he says, how did I do? And she says, you passed. And then he says, well, you failed. And he turned the car around, went back home and dropped her off. So the story... Lee, could you explain that story to Bella?
I have another story that has to do with anger. So, one of my rabbis was telling us the story, and he's like, I set up two people, and the girl calls me up. She's like, everything's going very well, but I've been hearing that he has a temper, and so the rabbi's like, okay, well, I haven't seen it, maybe you should try to test it out. And she's like, what do I do? And
he's like, the next time you go into a restaurant, like, just like slightly like pour like a cup of water and like see how he reacts. So she's like, okay, like whatever. She's like, that's crazy, whatever, it's not gonna work. And he's like, just do it. So the next time they go like to a restaurant or whatever, she gets like, she tips over like the waiter's tray and like it's like a cup of water spills on him. He gets up and starts screaming and cursing and like going crazy. And she's like, okay. Hi.
I've heard such stories, actually. I don't know if you should do it purposefully. It's going to happen naturally. Some, if you date long enough, some frustrating situation will come up. But I do know one guy, and by the way, this is why you should not drink on a date.
Water?
No.
No.
Shane, you can drink water on a date. Yeah, no. You can drink, that's spilling water. You shouldn't drink. If someone says don't drink, they don't mean don't drink water. Water is something you're meant to drink, unless it's Yom Kippur, one of the six fast days. Talk about alcohol on a date. Not that you would, obviously. But people are older. They go out, make a cup of wine. It's not a smart thing to do, because when the wine goes in, you start to make to do some silly, silly things. So my friend said, happened many years ago, he was dating this girl, and they're on a date, and she ordered a cup of wine in the restaurant. You know, and she's drinking, and she gets a little bit, you know, because the wine comes first. They always give you the wine first. You drink it, we'll eat food, and order more wine. It's a technique, you know. And that's why they're so quick with the alcohol. So she drinks the wine. The waitress, a very fancy restaurant, and the waitress spills some wine on her dress by mistake. He said she went completely crazy. He goes, I've been dating her for a couple of months. He never saw this. And they offered, you know, and the waitress offered, the manager came out to pay for it, the whole thing. They could not calm it down. And then she calmed down, and she thought the date was fine. After, she's like, great, thanks so much, see you tomorrow. And he's like, no. No, I don't think so, you know? I don't want to be with someone who... like he put, this poor girl was crying, the waitress, by the end. Completely cried. It was a complete accident. But the question, it's not okay. And it's a very fair... it's a red flag. It's really a red flag when it comes to this one trait. Well, we're going to come to this, Bella. I haven't figured it out yet. I'm going to give you some technique. I'm just telling you... let's see how bad it is, first of all. But the damage it comes... that comes from it, okay... that's what Rashi says. Let's look at Rashi inside. So Rashi explains these. B'shlosh nefar madam nikar b'koso b'kiso u'b'kas. Says Rashi b'koso im dato b'shevevet alav b'yayino. Right? He's how controlled his person is when he drinks. B'kiso. K'shenosef anotim b'nei adam, when he does business with a person. Im ben mun hose, is he faithful? Is he honest in business? No? Funny how it. There was a friend of mine who was dating this girl, and the first time he met her father, the first thing the father said to him was how he likes to like cheat on his taxes. And he ended up marrying this girl, right? End up being that, you know, the apple does not fall too far from the tree. That's a very, very true expression. The apple does not fall far from the tree. You know that expression? So she was like, and he ended up divorcing her and marrying a wonderful, wonderful woman, thank God. Got a few kids now. She was very involved in the organization, came from through my organization to some degree. Very wonderful, wonderful girl. So it's a trait. How people act, how they see business, you know. That it's a reflection of character. Right? It's not a separate reality, you know. And because she'enu kapdan, you tell me die. He said, now look at Rashi's words. She'enu kapdan, you tell me die. He's not so demanding. He's a kapdan, right? Not makpid. He's not always demanding on every single thing. This is a trait. I'm always thinking dating, because that's the people I work with. So, you know, but people in their mid-20s, you know, who are dating. But you see it, and people see it, and they won't see it, rather. And after, it's like, I should have seen it. I've had a number of cases of someone who's dating, and the guys are controlling, and they ask you questions about your private life, about your personal finances. They want to know what's going on. They want to let you speak, and they hold you back, you know. 100%. And afterwards, but people are so enwrapped and so enthralled in this fantastic, you know. Then afterwards, they look back like, I should have seen that. That's how to judge a character. Are they makpid? Too makpid. That's Rashi. Okay? Let's have a look back in the Aruch HaTzaddikim, next page. He says like this. You have two nice paragraphs on this. Three. Bnei Adam, kishehem kosim umachazikim bekasam, when a person, people who are angry, yeah, and they hold on to and they reinforce their rage, einam masimim libam al ma she'osim, they don't know what they're doing. You know, we even have the expression in English. They lose it. Now, what does lose it mean? They just lose it. They lose any perspective, and they just do crazy things. You know, and I mentioned the road rage thing jokingly, but it's very, very true. Right? This whole thing of people who just, on the road, and you hear so many stories. Every day you hear something in the news about someone who lost it, and shot someone, and got out of the car and smashed them, you know? Or famous athletes, we saw this one recently, lost it with a woman he loves, and then just shoots her. You know? They don't know what they're doing. Va'osim harbeh inyanim b'kas, they do many, many things in their kas, mashalayosim below kas, which they would not have done had they not been angry. So anger is the trigger to their bad actions. It's not the result of their emotions, it's a trigger to other bad things. Ki akas motzi sichlo shel adam, it takes out your seichel. And calls you to think irrationally and speak out in anger. And it's going to enter you into disputes and argues and quarrels and squabbles between people. So anger is going to be the thing, the key, is going to lead you into all other forms of other problems. So the anger itself, we're going to see, is a problem. But it leads to other things. And it also, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, makes you unpopular. Hakasan, ein lo chen b'nei habriyot, v'hu sone b'neiem. He says, people don't like angry people. And makes them hated. People are going to hate you if you're constantly losing it. And by this, it's going to be the same with families. I'm going to be the same with kids. We all get angry with kids. It's going to happen. You're going to lose with your kids many, many times. You just are. Right? Kids are programmed to drive you crazy. It's in the manual. You read the manual. It's like a thick book your parents got before you were born. How to operate baby 101. And you go through. First of all, put in batteries. Okay? Which would be nice, actually. You take the batteries out, they go straight to sleep. But it doesn't work that way. Right? You read through the manual. One of the things it says in there, chapter 7, point two, we are here to drive you absolutely crazy. And you can lose your temper with them. It's going to happen. What we're saying over here is that's understandable. But you can't always be in a state of anger. Right? There has to be a certain amount of... Because they will come to hate you. That's what the Orach HaTzaddikim was saying. Yeah? Umutoch kach, ein ma'asav mekoblim be'enei habriyot. And what your actions... Your deeds will not, that person that will not be accepted by people. Hakasan hu kovet al b'nei beiso. An angry person is a burden on their family. Who have to constantly, hashomim tamid kasov talan so, constantly hearing their anger. Drives the family crazy. And even if this person is extremely intelligent, hakasan, he says, afilu im yesh biyado Torah masin tovim, even if they have Torah and lots of good deeds, ein ha'olam lamdim men, they're going to learn from you. No one's going to learn from you if you have this constant anger that is with you. I did not bring this Mishnah down, I don't think, maybe later on, but I want to just share one Mishnah with you. From where? Mishnah from Pirkei Avot, that's right. And it says in Pirkei Avot, there are four types of people. You can write this down. I didn't bring it down. So we'll do it outside. And when we learn through Pirkei Avot, maybe we'll reach it. Yeah, whoops, not good. Okay. There are four types of people. Look this up. I believe it's in the fourth chapter of Pirkei Avot. Believe. It says there are some people who get angry very easily. Let's write this down. You know what? Let's write this one down on the board. In Pirkei Avot, it's not in the book, in the Ethics of the Fathers, Pirkei Avot says there are four types of people in the world. The whole world divides into four sections. 1, 2, 3, 4. Number one, some people get angry quickly and then calm down quickly. They're quick to anger, but also quick to calm down. Some people are slow to anger, but they're also slow to calm down. Once they're angry, they hold on to their cars. Then, says Pirkei Avot, some people are quick to anger and then slow to calm down. And some people, says Pirkei Avot, are slow to anger. It takes a lot to get them angry, but quick to calm down. Right? So those are your four groupings. Some people get quick to anger, but calm down quickly. Some people are slow to anger, but they're very slow to calm down. And some people are quick to get angry, but slow to calm down. And some people are slow to get anger. It takes a lot. You've got to really push their buttons for a long time. You keep push, 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 push. And finally, they're pow. But once they do, they calm down very, very quickly. Of these four, which would you say is the best one? Number four, slow to anger and quick to calm down. Let's see if we can find the Mishnah very quickly over here. Pirkei Avot. Now that's correct.
What's considered like calming down quickly? Like,
as in you don't hold on to
minutes, or with it, like not holding a grudge.
That's fair. I don't think a time is not given. I think it depends on the person, but they calm down quickly. They're not. I mean, we're talking about when they're in the state of anger. We're talking about anger over here, not upset, like angry, you know. Maybe it's in the third chapter. One second, I'm just finding the Mishnah because it gives a very interesting. I know he's called a chassid. One second. Here we go. This is in, it's actually the fifth chapter. Right? Perek HaMishi, Mishnah Yud Dalad. Arba Midos B'deos. There are four types of Midos. Noach Lechos V'Noach Lirtzot. Noach Lechos, it's very easy to get them angry, but it's also easy to calm down. He says, Yatzev Sedo B'Scharo. Not good, they lose what they gain. Kasher Lechos, probably very difficult to get angry, but Kasher Lirtzot, also difficult to calm them down. What they gain, they lose. Kasha lichos v'noach lirtzot. What's that? Difficult to get angry, but very easy to calm down. It's difficult to get them angry, but it's very easy to calm them down. Is that good? How do you think such a person is judged in Judaism? What kind of title would such an individual get? I mean, it's really hard to get them angry. I mean, they're getting angry, but it's hard to get them angry. And once they're angry, they calm down quickly.
Humble.
You would have thought not selfish, humble. You know what Mishnah Pirkei Avot calls them? Chassid. Chassid, a righteous individual. That's a pretty big title. Noach lechos, but it's very easy to get angry. V'kasha lirtzot, but very difficult to calm down. The fourth one, Russia. That's a rasha. That's bad. The last one.
What?
The one where a person is... Oh, sorry. Quick to anger, but slow to calm down. I did the wrong order. Quick to anger, slow to calm down. That's a rasha. This is the rasha. This, slow to anger, quick to calm down, is a chassid. A chassid? Doesn't mean they walk around with a furry hat on, like a pot. This is Mishnah's written before they were chassidim. That means they're considered to be extremely righteous. How could that be? Ilana, what's the problem with that? What's the problem with that?
They're still getting angry.
And the answer is, they're calming down quickly. And it takes a long time to get there. You can move around this form. And one of my teachers used to say, notice there is no fifth category. What could there be? What's missing over here? Doesn't this guy's angry at all? Doesn't exist.
Because
it's an absolutely, it's a natural thing. People get angry. That is the way we are programmed. However, according to Torah, we can do something about it. We can decide with that emotion how we apply it, when we apply it, how long it takes us to get there, and how could we calm down. There we have free will. So people say to you, oh, it's not my fault I got angry, is not, in Jewish thought, considered a sufficient excuse. It's understandable, but it is not an excuse for behavior, because we have the ability, through our free will, to decide how we react to it. Yes, Chloe?
Does this fall into the category of something that is like, depends on the person? Like, is calming down quickly relative? I feel like it's naturally embedded in people to have worse tempers than other people.
It could be. It could be, listen, it could be through nature or through nurture, which Judaism doesn't have a problem with. Some people could be born with negative traits. I know you all think everyone's born exactly the same. They're not. Right? And someone who, thank God, is blessed with children, you can see children's traits very early on. And when I say early on, I literally mean, I was actually talking to Dean Bacon about this on Shabbat, funnily enough. I don't know how it came or the context. We're talking about our children are all different. And it's amazing how you can actually see the difference from which point? From the moment they're born. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think a child comes out angry, like, hey, where's my bottle? I'm thirsty. I don't mean like that, all right? They're not demanding. But the personality trait is different every single child. Who says, I once mentioned this many years ago to my rabbi, he's like, who said kids should be born the same? They come out. Like my first daughter came out screaming, shouting. And she's still screaming and shouting, really enough, right? And she never slept at night. It was always like a fussy baby. And the other one, first night, slept for 9 hours. Right? Wow. And, you know, and I was like, oh, whatever it was. Well, maybe nine. Maybe it was like five. Right? But I don't know. I fell asleep and my wife was up. But what are you going to do? It's different children have different... And it really comes out. So people are born differently. Right? Different. But no one's born evil. That's for sure. Right? That is not that's a Christian concept. People are born into sin. In Judaism, that is not true. People are born good. With different traits. Some easier to anger. Some less easy to anger. It's in their spiritual genes. Well, now we're saying in their DNA. But it's not an excuse.
But I'm saying if a person...
Also, people are... I'm sorry, just one thing. Okay. People are genetically created as saying now maybe to be fat people. Maybe it's an inherited trait. I'm genetically inclined that way. That is not an excuse. Just say it's in my genes, and I don't mean your Levi's. Just because it's in your genes doesn't mean it's an excuse for bad behavior. Even genes. I mean, we like throw this thing out. Oh, but I'm genetically made this way. So genes is not so simple. First of all, okay, fine. If a person's genetically going to have brown eyes, nothing they could do about it. Except maybe get, I don't know, green contact lenses. But let's say a person's genetically meant to be 6 feet. Could it be that person can end up being 5 foot? The answer is, yeah. If they're malnourished, treated badly, you know, not allowed to... It could be. Right? But I'm genetically made to be that way. But a person could be abused, right? Not grow up healthily and actually be much shorter. So just because the person is genetically inclined towards something, they can still overcome it. Now, why Hashem would do that to a person is a whole philosophical realm, and the answer is that's why Hashem made us, to overcome our negative traits. And some people, it's a bigger challenge. Everyone's got their package. Right? Let's say in Yiddish.
Reward bigger. Like if,
yes.
If somebody's not naturally inclined to have a temper.
Absolutely. Their reward, right? If a person is naturally inclined to anger, when they overcome the anger, they get greater reward. How do I know that? Because it says in Pirkei Avot. Lufum Sara Agra. According to the effort a person gets in, puts into something, so to be the reward. So if there is a person who is naturally like to steal money, when they don't steal money, they get more reward. A person who never dreams of stealing money, when they don't steal money, they're also rewarded, but at a much lower level. That means all of you are being rewarded right now for not running outside in a screaming, angry attack and slashing people on the streets. All of us being rewarded. Be like, I don't want to. There's a small part of you that does. It's very, 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 very small. Deep down, you're getting very small out of reward, but maybe there's someone in this class who actually wants to run outside right now and smash all people on their heads. If you are, please stay in class and keep learning Torah. And such people will get more reward for it. So now, that's nature. Now, some people, let's say, are born naturally nice. Let's say we can genetically prove it, which they're trying to always do. Every day in the newspapers you read, there's other things about people who are naturally... However, it could be they were brought up abused. And my mother wasn't nice to me. And my rabbi was mean to me. And this person was cruel to me. And that thing happened to me. And I was a low yutzlach. I had trouble. And that's my excuse for... It's understandable, but it's not always an excuse. It's understandable, but it's not always an excuse. And the analogy I like to give, and we'll finish with this, is just to understand that idea and the difference, because it's not always an easy difference. If you're in an elevator, and you walk out of the elevator, and there's a person in front of you, and you brush past their arm. Can you hear them stirring? You're in the elevator, you walk out, and you just brush off, and you're like, ow! That really hurt! What'd you do that for? You're crazy! You're like, whoa, get a life. I just touched you with my arm. Now, if I told you that person had been sunbathing and had really bad sunburn on their arm, and by touching their arm you really actually hurt them a lot, it's understandable that they would scream out. But it's not an excuse for losing a temper. Everyone has emotional sunburn in some part of their personality. We all do. We have certain things you just push, but you're like, whoa, why did they end up exploding like that? And if you look into their background, certain things happened to them, which led to them getting angry because you made some comment about their hair, their nose, their eyes, their legs, their bag, their pocketbook, whatever it is, their shoes, and whoa, they're like, where did that come from? Maybe something just happened to them this morning. It's understandable, but it is not an excuse. That is the key difference. We shall pick this up, Emetz Hashem, tomorrow and discuss how anger is likened to murder and to idol worship. Why such extreme comparisons are made of this trait. Have a great and successful and calm day.